from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
We can get into that. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ryan, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. How you guys doing?
Do you know how many teams are in the Big Ten?
No. In fact, I cover the draft primarily now, along with some NFL stuff, and I have to ask my co-host every week which team is in which conference, because the Pac-12, of course, no longer exists. And
rest in peace.
Yeah, it's one of the best conferences in the league in college football last year. They just decided that it wasn't making enough money for them, so let's blow the whole thing up, and here we are.
How will your life change without Pac-12 After Dark, Ryan?
Well, I'm on the East Coast, and I go to bed early, so not at all. I would just watch the games a Sunday morning or even later in the week. So I will be fine on that front, but my younger self will probably miss it when I was actually a night owl.
All right, Ryan, the Amari Cooper deal gets taken care of, and it was absolutely terrific that we don't have to worry about that in terms of a distraction. Were you a little surprised that Amari Cooper did not hold out to get more guaranteed money in the future?
A little, but Amari Cooper seems to be going down a divergent path of your typical quote-unquote diva wide receiver. He doesn't make a lot of noise outside of football. He's not asking for what rightly he would deserve, and we see other, you know, CeeDee Lamb's not reporting. He deserves what he wants to get paid. Brandon Ayuk had the whole situation in San Francisco. Those players deserve what they want as wide receivers, but you can make the same case for Amari, but he's not one to be outspoken about it. And that's great news for the Browns, because you guys know better than I do. Historically, Cleveland, it's always done one thing or another with the Browns in terms of reasons to be upsetting the apple cart, and what could, potentially, as we look at it from August here, be a good football season. So I think that it's great news for the Browns front office, for the team, as they try to come together and try to, you know, one more time, try to see if Deshaun Watson can stay healthy. And this is one less thing to worry about with one of the best players on that offensive unit.
I think that this is something that all but assures that he will not be on the roster next season with this deal. What do you think the best path moving forward as we look ahead? And I know that it's so far off in the future, but in terms of what this draft class looks like, since the Browns have a first-round pick back next year, how do you think they should operate in trying to eventually fill the void that he's going to create?
All right, July 24th is the first time I've been asked this draft calendar season about the 2025 draft on a radio spot, so I'm making a note. You guys are the winner there. The thing is, this wide receiver class isn't quite as deep as the ones in recent years. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be good players there. T. McMillan out of Arizona is a long, fast wide receiver. Luther Burden III, we're going to be talking a lot about him. He's a smaller type receiver who can do a lot of damage at all three levels, but they're not going to be the Malik Nabers. They're not going to be the Emeka Buka's coming out of Ohio State. He spoke yesterday at the media days. I'm just going back to my Rolodex of the Ohio State players. He's not Garrett Wilson for me. He's probably a little better than Jackson Smith and Jigba. So in that Chris Olave, Jackson Smith and Jigba range, you guys know Buka from watching him, of course. So the class won't be as deep, but there'll be opportunities to take guys. And what we've seen in recent years, and even this past draft, the Browns got Jamari Thrash later in the draft, you're going to draft guys on day two and day three that have a chance to contribute right away just because these college offenses have been so explosive.
Well, we're sitting here wondering what this brand new Browns offense is going to be, or if it'll marry some of the concepts of Stefanski with Ken Dorsey coming over. Now, we played audio earlier from Dan Orlovsky, who seemed like he's a little nervous about what that's going to be like because he wants the Stefanski offense to be maintained, that identity to be maintained. But at the same time, they're trying to get the most out of a quarterback that they really haven't seen a lot of great when it comes to Deshaun Watson. So how do you think that should look?
I think Kevin Stefanski, just on the outside looking in, based on what history has told me, it feels like Kevin Stefanski is going to be making a lot of those decisions. There's a reason, right or wrong, that Ken Dorsey got fired in Buffalo last season and the offense sort of picked things up. That doesn't mean Ken Dorsey's bad at his job or he can't learn from his mistakes. But the Patriots right now are talking about Sam Pelton's success he had with Jacoby Brissett in Cleveland as they're trying to turn things around in New England. But the follow-up is always, well, that was Kevin Stefanski's offense, and I think that doesn't change. I think Kevin Stefanski is good in terms of dialing up plays. He knows what he wants. He had a ton of success before he was a head coach at doing just that, and I think Ken Dorsey will be a part of that conversation. But I would be less concerned about that and more concerned about, can we keep Deshaun Watson healthy, and can he get close to the form that the Browns thought they were getting when they made that deal for him a few years ago? And it hasn't paid off yet, but the hope is that it will, because if it does, then suddenly you're one of the best teams in the AFC.
I know that it hasn't paid off yet, and there have been a number of different reasons as to why Deshaun Watson hasn't been the same guy in Houston, or the same guy in Cleveland that he was in Houston, I should say. What do you think the Browns should be doing offensively to try and get that elite quarterback that we all saw in Houston so many years ago to show up on Sundays in Cleveland?
Well, we sort of saw glimpses of it last year. It's just so hit or miss. And the thing is, Deshaun doesn't have to be elite. It would be great if he returned to the form that we saw the year before last, I think, in his last year in Houston before the injury started taking its toll. But the great thing about the Cleveland situation is they have players on both sides of the field outside of the quarterback position, and the defense can be dominant. And it can be a shutdown defense. And that can take you a long way. We see it all the time where teams struggle offensively to find their form, and then the defense carries them. The Jets are, top to bottom, a fantastic defense. They couldn't overcome Zach Wilson. That's not a concern for the Cleveland Browns offensively. So I think if you're just slightly above average, and at least to start the season, they're getting Nick Chubb back, and he was a big part of what they do. I think that balance is important. We just talked about Amari Cooper. They have Jerry Jeudy. He's looking to restart his career, and he was a really good player coming out, just didn't work out for him. In Denver, I think that's the starting point. You don't need to come out playing like a Hall of Famer. You need to come out playing like someone who's eyeing the Pro Bowl, and then go from there and let the defense and Jim Schwartz do the heavy lifting in September, October, and then let it all come together the final few months of the season.
Man, I love, and we're talking to Ryan Wilson right now, I love listening to Mike Vrabel. He did a podcast appearance on PMT recently, and I just love hearing him talk about the loopholes of football, how he's been able over the years to game the system. He even had an example of that when he was a player, of them changing rules because of something he came up with. It's pretty crazy, is it not, Ryan, that not only is he not a head coach this year in the NFL, but that he is just helping out with the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And it just goes to show you how deep the pool of really smart people are in the league, and there's just a shortage of positions. Now, it sounded like Tennessee was more of a Game of Thrones situation than an on-the-field situation. And those things happen as well when you get to this level of football. A lot of it ends up being politics, but this is great news for the Cleveland Browns. I know that some Browns fans were concerned of having too many cooks in the kitchen, and I think as long as everyone understands their role, that's fine. We just saw a report that Kyle Shanahan was going to give Bill Belichick the keys to the building in San Francisco to do whatever he wanted. Bill Belichick turned it down, but the thinking there is probably similar in that you can never have enough smart guys helping you make decisions. The 49ers are on a different part of their journey than the Browns are, but the Browns are trying to get there. And I think as long as Kevin Stefanski has confidence in who he is and his ability to lead, he probably doesn't care who's in the building alongside of him if they're all trying to help attain the same goal. So I love that. And I love Mike Vrabel as a player. And I think as a coach, he did a lot with a little consistently in Tennessee. The offense sort of got him last year in the Game of Thrones stuff. But, hey, Tennessee's loss in this case feels like the Cleveland's win.
It feels like we're on the way to the NFL going to an 18-game schedule. I don't know when that's going to be, but it does feel as if it's an if or a win, not an if thing. Do you think that's a good thing for the league?
No, I think it's a terrible idea. I always come back to this. How much money do you need as an owner? Like, when's enough enough? And I say that only with the thinking that the players have made it clear time and time and time again that their bodies are not built to take 18 games, let alone 17 games. And whether the conversation turns to an extra bye week, which would be great, those are things that need to be talked about with the union and the league. But on no planet where the players are bigger, stronger, faster than they've ever been, does it make sense in my mind to put them out there an extra week, especially if the thinking is we need our star players on the field in the biggest moments, because injury opportunities go up the more you're out there, and that's just common sense. You have to be a scientist to figure that out. And no one's asking for this outside the owners who want more money. And I just keep coming back to, how many billions do you need in order for this to stop? Because the football isn't better. Thursday Night Football, if you look at the quality of play, I think everyone would agree that it's not been great. You can argue about the scheduling and that the teams facing one another. That point aside, the football hasn't been fun to watch because these guys are working on 3.5 days rest after having their bodies beaten up the previous Sundays. So, well, it's coming. It's inevitable. And the issue is, you know, how do we make it easier to watch and safer to play? Because those are the real questions for fans and for the players.
Earlier in the show, Ryan Wilson with us right now on the hotline, I talked about the unintended consequences of 18 games. I talked about shortening careers. I mean, if you think about going from 16 games to 18 games, what that does over the course of 8 years, that's a full season longer that you're playing in the NFL. Not to mention, you know, the potential for load management or players to say, maybe I'm going to sit this one out as long as they're at the top of the pecking order and they don't have to worry about incentives. So all of that, like, what are you most concerned about with 18 games? Because I'm surprised so many of us are on the same page here. I'm expecting fans to just love every minute of going an extra week.
Well, I think what the NFL is counting on, and remember back in 2011 when we had the previous lockout and everyone was, there were a contingent of people yelling at the players for not, quote unquote, caving. But at the end of the day, when you have billionaires versus millionaires, billionaires are going to be able to hold out longer. They got more money. That's just how the math works. And I think what the NFL is counting on here is that they'll take some blowback early on, but once the games start being played and the teams start being competitive and the divisions start shaking themselves out, fans will turn their attention to that. But to your larger point, that doesn't change the fact that players are still going to be getting injured at a higher rate. If we're serious about head injuries don't go down when you play more football games, and the shortening of careers. And if there's something to be had on the back end in terms of what the Players Association thinks makes sense monetarily for these players and financially and in terms of maybe even long-term health care after they retire these players, that's something that could certainly change opinion. But if the football's better and it's safer, okay, I'll sign up for that. But I have yet to see that happen based on the going from 16 to 17 games and again on the Thursday night games, which have in general been pretty tough to watch when you compare them to what giving players 6 and 7 days off looks like.
If you were working for the players union and you were part of this negotiation, what would you be asking for in return to expanding to 18 games? Because I don't think the players did a very good job of getting concessions from the owners and going from 16 to 17. So I'm curious what you think they should be asking for going 17 to 18.
No, that's a great question. I don't know the details of what the labor agreement currently looks like, but it would be more guaranteed money. I don't know what the healthcare rules currently are in place for these players, but I've seen players on social media complain about having lack of healthcare after they get out of the league. I think that should be a day one concession from the NFL, if it's not already, because healthcare for the rest of your life seems like a layup to me in a $1 billion industry where you've sort of built it on the backs of these players. Those would be the starting points because, you know, as we're talking about here, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of what can the players squeeze out of this orange here before we get to that point, because like we saw in 2011, the players didn't get the best end of that deal. And he talked about going from 16 to 17 games, but they're up against it. You know, the clock on their careers is what, 3 to 5 years. Whereas the owners, they can sit around for a decade and wait you out. So the players are going to have to make concessions, just trying to get the most out of those concessions with the understanding that at the end of the day, we're going to have 18 regular season games.
All right, Ryan, I asked our panelists and around the AFC North, so I'll ask you as well. And lock in your vote. Which team in this competitive AFC North are you not buying?
Well, Ken and Lyme will tell you I'm a Steelers homer, so it's easy to say the Steelers just because Russell Wilson has been terrible the last few years, and Justin Fields, who knows who he is, based on the way he sort of was treated in Chicago. So I'll lean with Pittsburgh. I'll take off the homer hat for a second here because you just don't know. Last year it was Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. This year, is it an upgrade of the quarterback position? Yes, but slightly. And then you look around the league, Joe Burrow's healthy. Deshaun Watson has to be better, and that defense is really good. And, of course, Lamar Jackson is an MVP. So I think common sense says Pittsburgh, unless they're going to lean on a defense to carry them to 10 wins and hope they can eke out a couple more offensively. So I think Pittsburgh is probably the obvious answer at this point.
All right, Ryan, appreciate it. And I'm sure the boys will appreciate it, too, when they're back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mitch, did you tell Ryan Wilson that I'm on the show today? Because it was pretty clear that he didn't think he thought he was talking to not Ken or Lima.
I specified that you were on the air today. Ken was out. Yes.
How did you take us through that? How did you explain that? How did you clarify?
I'm pretty sure I texted him during our conversation here.
Okay.
I mean, first of all,
read it. Read your text
verbatim.
I already read text today that I shouldn't have.
No, that's okay.
You're allowed to read these.
You're allowed to. We're giving you the go ahead.
Hi there, Mr. Wilson. So sorry for the late message. Just wanted to check if you're still all good for tomorrow on the show. Also asked, and then
you said,
No. This doesn't pertain to what we're talking about. This doesn't pertain to what we're talking about. Then he said, okay, let's do 9 a.m. Wednesday if that works. I said, hey, I really appreciate it. Can't wait to hear from you this week. And then, okay, so I guess I didn't. He's been on the show before.
Sure.
Ken,
sure,
Carmen,
July.
And Anthony Lima.
It's July, and what do we know about July around the country when it comes to sports talk radio?
Time off.
It's a lot of time off. Guys getting their time in, and that's fine. Mitch, I'm not trying to be discouraging.
That's all good.
Do you, before you push through a guest, do you say, hey, get ready for, and you'll do the names. Owen, is there a trick to this? The names?
I always just say, like, so today, if I was doing it, I'd go, hey, just a heads up, Ken is out. Lima is leading the show today,
okay.
So you'll hear Lima first, and then Danny Cunningham is in for Ken. So Danny will be the second.
So that's experience, right?
Yeah.
It's just Owen's been through this before, because what would happen is
sometimes you have Michael Rappaport on, and Ken says that he's Lima, and then Michael's millions of fans attacked Lima on the internet.
A switcheroo at the last second. But the guests like to know who they're talking to, because the reality is, like, when Mike Lombardi comes on, he has no idea who Ken Carmen is.
Correct.
He has no idea. We've talked to him, like, in person. He has no idea who we are. But the whole point is, so you don't go through, it sounds bigger than it is. If, like, when Kevin Stefanski calls, and he genuinely knows who we are now.
Correct.
But I think it always helps.
He's roasted you.
And he has roasted us.
It does help still to, because you sound different when you're on the phone than you do when you're listening through your car stereo. You just go, hey, the first voice. You're going to hear this voice.
But also, it builds credibility. Like, if Charles Barkley calls up, we all know there's no way in hell he has any idea who we are. But if Charles Barkley all of a sudden goes, Ken.
You know who's great about it? Clark Kellogg. I always give him the list of who's going first, and Clark will say your name no matter what.
So, but you have to talk in the right order.
You have to tell him the order.
Because if anybody runs in, like if Jeff Thomas ran in and got on the microphone,
he would go, oh, that's Ken.
That's Ken, because that's the order. All right, we'll you know what we'll do? We're going to work on this. This is a good teaching moment. And by the way, Ryan Wilson was great, so great job booking Ryan Wilson.
Yeah.
Some comments about the 18 games, and apparently a war of words already. Ryan Day, I said yesterday, Yard Barker, they have him number one on the hot seat.
Got him up there on the hot
seat. Number one. Where does Paul Feinbaum have him? All right, we'll get to that next when we come back here on Sports Radio. 92.3 The Fan with Anthony and Danny. You get to the phones here. Dave in Berea. He just heard us talking to Ryan Wilson about Deshaun Watson and other things NFL related. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I wish everybody would.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Stop comparing Watson with the Texans, because a lot of those yards and touchdowns he got was against prevent defenses and a lot in garbage time. And, you know, somebody brought up how he chewed up the Browns in 2019. Well, if you remember, Joe Woods' defense stunk that year. So it's a bad comparison. It doesn't work.
Joe Woods wasn't there in 2019.
So, Dave, you said you saw prevent defenses. That's what you saw in your expert analysis?
Sure.
Interesting. I'm going to pull up the All-22.
But the Texans defense was so bad that even...
How bad was it?
So do you think he wasn't good at all in Houston?
I'm saying, no, he's good. But the defense in Texas was terrible.
Dave, so will he have?
Score and take the lead.
Will he have? And this is terrific insight from Dave and Berea. Will he? Don't laugh. Why are you guys laughing at the call? See, Dave, I'm trying to be a friend. I try to extend the olive branch. And I keep laughing. I asked for your perspective. You were nice enough to call up. Don't let these others ridicule you. So you tell me, what are you expecting out of Deshaun Watson this year, 2024?
Well, I think he could be the comeback player of the year.
Let's go. Dave, you've turned it around. Let's go.
Go Browns.
Switched it up a little bit.
I'd be stunned.
I thought it was going one way, and it went another.
The classic Dave and Berea.
What a call.
Man, that was impressive.
What a call.
Okay, he said comeback player of the year.
That's not happening.
Now, wait a second. Who has won comeback player of the year?
Joe Flacco.
In recent years. Oh, that's right. I remember Joe Flacco.
That guy?
Did DeMar Hamlin win it too?
Did they tie?
I didn't know how that was working. I knew
Flacco beat him by a point.
They changed.
It was close.
Didn't they change?
They changed the criteria that it should be coming off of an injury instead of just like Joe Flacco's situation, where he was coming off the couch. Like They did make the criteria to win the award a little bit more specific, for which Deshaun Watson would fall into that.
Oh, he's coming off an injury.
There you go.
But you really think that a national group of writers is going to vote Deshaun Watson for a feel-good story award? I don't. I don't care how good he is.
Wait a second. Hold on.
I don't care how good he is. I don't see a world in which they vote for him.
Do we not talk about, not here in Cleveland, but in other places around the NFL, Ben Roethlisberger? They don't talk about him the same way they did, you know, a few months after those allegations, Kobe Bryant. Certainly when he passed away, I mean, there were a few that brought up Eagle Colorado, but it was almost, not unanimous, but it was pretty damn close to the type of tribute that he was getting.
Sure.
And the way people have turned. You're telling me that there's nothing Deshaun Watson can do? Like, the media loves a comeback story.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's your own, if it's your fault or it's your own issues or your own baggage that you created or your decision making, the media has always had, and the general public, I would say, in this country, does have a soft spot for a guy that turns things around.
Sure.
You're telling me he can't do that?
No, I don't think that is. I do not think that, considering the number of lawsuits that he was dealing with and what his play has been like, and at times his attitude towards it, I don't think that the media would vote for him. I don't. I do not believe that's an award he's capable of winning. He could be great.
So you don't think he can win MVP? You don't think, like, if the Browns have the best record?
I think MVP is a different story, because MVP is not a feel-good award.
You don't think
comeback player of the year is a feel-good award?
Part of the narrative.
I think it's easier for that to just let the things on the field speak. I think comeback player of the year, you bring in off the field things. I think MVP can be strictly on the field.
Oh, and you're thinking.
Could he get votes for that? Sure. I don't anticipate
about
it
in this way at all before.
I haven't either. That's why I stopped you in your trial. We're going to do Ryan Day stuff. We'll see if we still have time.
I mean, I don't know if we need to pull this one out. This is a very interesting.
The reason I'm fascinated, you kind of stopped me in my tracks there. When I'm listening to you, I said that last year. Like, I even when it came to MVP, I'm like, well, he has no shot. He would have to have the most amazing season ever. But we're another year removed. He's had no issues.
It's also
Cleveland.
Not a comeback from a suspension. It's a comeback from an injury.
Right.
In which
that is true.
He did play his best half of football before it, Danny. Ah.
That is true.
So I've heard.
I don't know. I think I got to tell you, Danny, he's just so not talked about right now that I wonder if enough time has been removed. I mean, there are Browns fans that are, while there are many that are just ready for him to be bad and then they want him to be jettisoned.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't hear the outrage nearly as much about him putting on the uniform. I don't really see any of that.
It'll always quiet down. But the first time he has a good game, if he does have another good game for the Browns this year, you're going to see stuff on the internet pop up about his past. You're always going to see that with people.
Think about this. 3 years after he went to prison, Michael Vick won the Comeback Player of the Year award and finished second in the MVP voting.
That's a good poll.
Let me.
That is a great poll. But I think that those two situations are very different.
Let me play a little exercise with you guys. Let me play a little exercise. I've just got the NFL conferences up. I'm going to do this off the top of my head. Who's more likely to win Comeback Player of the Year this year? Is it Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers? Just got to pick one.
Odds-wise, it's probably
Rodgers.
Okay. Is it Deshaun Watson or Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow. 100% Joe Burrow. Not even close.
This is a stupid award then. Okay, keep going.
Okay, but like you can't argue that.
Is it Deshaun Watson or Richardson in Indianapolis?
Deshaun Watson, because Richardson played like four games.
And he was a rookie last year.
Like he's not coming back from being good.
Correct. You're there. Looking.
Do they have DeMar Hamlin?
They don't. He did not pass away last season.
I'm sure he had an injury. Injury of some sort.
Well, he was only active for like five games, right?
Hold on. The Michael Vick thing, Mitch, is a great pull. You deserve credit for this is why he's a member of our crack staff. Danny, you said it's a different situation.
It is.
I lived that. I was very, very involved in watching and listening to everything when that happened. Man, he was treated as one of the biggest criminals in the history of sports when that happened. And you know how people feel. People feel about their animals sometimes even more so than they do their parents or their loved ones. Like that is how significant. I remember the town hall. I'll never forget Bob Lee doing a town hall with the Michael Vick situation. It was on national TV, more so than Deshaun Watson. Honestly, it was a bigger story. I got to tell you, I think
it was because he was. I mean, when you go to federal penitentiary, it is.
Yeah,
yeah. But
I think the culture, like an actual culture that surrounded that.
I think that his comeback story was greater. Obviously, the rules are different now for this award. Mike Vick wasn't coming back from an injury, at least not one that I can remember. But the world has changed so much, too, since then.
His image.
What year was this?
2010? No.
2007 was when he went to prison. Oh, and so then when did 2010 when he came back.
Think about how much the world has changed in the last 14 years. like the world has changed quite a bit in the last 14 years. I don't see it, no matter how good Deshaun Watson is, I don't see him being a guy that they're going to give this award to. And when you think about how good Deshaun Watson is, Joe Burrow probably going to be just as good, if not better. That is a much easier award to hand out.
Mitch, this has to be a poll question tomorrow.
I've got one more.
You're going to have to put up today, and we're going to have to update it for tomorrow because it's too late in the show. We've got to get people involved
in this.
We've
got one more for you.
Go ahead.
Deshaun Watson or Nick Chubb?
Oh, Nick
Who's
Chubb.
Who's more likely to win the comeback Nick player
Chubb.
Of the year?
Nick Chubb would be an awesome story because of how gruesome that injury. I mean, that's something.
True. It's the same offense, right?
But that's something that plays into it, too, is...
They got to split the vote.
Deshaun was in and out of the lineup. His injury was very ambiguous. The whole world, the whole football world saw Nick Chubb's leg snap. Basically.
We were talking about changing the rules. Do they need to change the rules on those types of hits?
They need to lifetime ban Minkah Fitzpatrick.
You know what? I agree.
Andrew Rainey on X, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, says Dave and Berea, comeback caller of the year. When we come back, we will get Mitch, please. It's right around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Mitch, do you have a preview of what's coming up?
It might be a back and forth that we were teasing earlier in the show that happened yesterday on a national network.
Beautiful. That is up next. We thank everybody for listening. It's Danny and somebody else, according to Ryan Wilson here on Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan. All right, it's that time for Mitch, please. Mitch, did you get the poll up yet, or are we still going to massage that?
We are still massaging it right now. I want to make sure this question
that
is correct. That was
not the right term for that. I swear to God, I didn't mean it that way. I wasn't trying to be funny. Anyway, let's get to Mitch, please.
I only just got it, and it came
there
out too late.
There was nothing to get. It wasn't a joke.
No,
it was
right.
not a joke.
No, that's
did
right.
Did you do that?
Anyway,
did
Mitch, please.
Let's move on.
Mitch, please.
We had to pull an audible. The first clip we're going to play today is from Ryan Day's appearance yesterday on ESPN's Get Up. There was a conversation that he was having involving a lot of his players returning to finish a job against Michigan after three failed tries. Let's hear it.
Probably one of the biggest, you know, struggles that we have is that, you know, when you lose a game like that, you know, you have to wait a whole nother year to get back into that game. And, you know, for our guys who decided to come back, we had about 12 guys that made the decision to come back. That was one of the big reasons why they decided to come back. But what we have to do is build every day and grow every day and count on the work that we're doing on a daily basis. That's going to matter as we get to the end of the season. And, you know, what we can't do is get too far ahead of ourselves and start to focus too much on that and get distracted. That's just the bottom line. But when you come to Ohio State, you got to win that game.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. So,
before you get into that, are you buying that everybody came back just to beat Michigan? Or did they come back because they're getting NIL money?
I think that was part of it. I think it's all a combination. They didn't come back solely to beat Michigan. I think they came back because they're getting NIL money because they want to beat Michigan and because they believe that if everybody did return to school, they have a legitimate chance to win a national championship. I think all three of those things probably played into the decision-making for most of the guys that are coming back. I think some of them also, it's, hey, you know, I don't love what I heard from the NFL. I think another year at Ohio State would help as far as my professional career goes once I leave. So I think that there are a number of different factors, but I think it's fair to say that most of those guys at least thought about beating Michigan when they decided to return to Ohio State. But to say it's the only reason that they all returned would not be true.
Not to mention win a national championship as well. So with that, the following show on ESPN's Morning Slate, First Take, featured noted SEC, let's say, enthusiast Paul Feinbaum, who had some very interesting words in regards to Ryan Day's comments. Let's hear it.
Molly, I have no idea what he's talking about. He's lost that game 3 years in a row, and he's talking about how his players are motivated to come back and play. Well, I heard that 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and last year, and you stunk in all three games. I mean, what are you talking about? And here's the problem with talking about Ryan Day. You look at his record, and I'm sure Doggy will quote it, and Stephen A. will quote it. It's gaudy. Nobody has a record like him, except you can't choke the biggest game of the year. If he can't beat Michigan this year when he's got probably the best team in the country along with Georgia? After Harbaugh leaves, after all those great players depart, after a national championship, he ought to be gone. It's simple as that. That's the biggest game of the year in the Big Ten. And I realize that Ohio State played for a national championship a couple years ago against Alabama. Only lost by 28 points. They've been to the playoffs, but they still, that program hasn't won a national championship since 2014 when Urban Meyer was there. So quit making excuses, Ryan Day. Quit acting like your players have given up something to come back. 3 years ago, they came back. 2 years ago, they came back. And 1 year ago, they came back. And it's been the same result. Oh, versus the last three games against Michigan.
Mitch, I can't say I disagree with a lot there. Although 3 years ago, they were coming off the COVID ducking by the Maize and Blue. One of the all-time disgraceful moments in the rivalry's history.
They couldn't field the team.
They said they couldn't field
the
team.
They were sick.
Yeah. Ohio State played for the national championship and had like half the team out with COVID, and they still played the game. They got drilled, and that was one of Alabama's best teams. They were going to lose even
that
if they
Alabama
were healthy.
That Alabama team was awesome.
Yes, but they didn't duck the game like Michigan ducked the game. It was, again, one of the most embarrassing moments in the history of the rivalry. Shame on
But I don't think that has anything
Harbaugh,
to do with today.
Shame on Michigan. But it doesn't. I'll say this, and I, Danny, I'd like to get your point of view because Ken vehemently disagreed. They're going to be big favorites against Michigan this year.
They should be. Michigan's not going to be what Michigan no. has been the last couple of years. So
like, I said they could lose five or six games.
Yeah, especially, and I haven't looked at their schedule, so I don't know exactly who they play in this new world Big Ten. But Ohio State has far more talent than Michigan does this year. Michigan's going to be a different team than the team that won the national championship last year. You obviously, you know, that'll stand forever and great for them. But I'm not nearly as invested in this rivalry as someone like you is. But I also think that when there is a talent discrepancy, the win doesn't matter quite as much. Like, I think the win for Michigan matters more the last 3 years. Because you could actually make a case Ohio State was more talented all 3 years. There's no case to be made this year that Michigan is anywhere close to Ohio State in terms of talent. Like, this is a game that it hurts much more for Ohio State to lose than Michigan to lose this year specifically.
I said this, Danny, that if they lose that game, they could be undefeated and they could be heading into the playoffs. They could be heading towards a bye. If they lose that game, I think Ryan Day will be fired the next day, and they will go into the playoff with either Chip Kelly or they'll have Urban Meyer come back to coach the playoff run, much like Wisconsin used to do that in the bowl games with
but
Barry
that, those games
I changed
matter.
A little bit from you. I believe you said he should be fired last week.
No, now
week.
I'm saying he will be
now
fired.
Now you're guaranteeing a fire.
See, I think that for him to be fired, he has to lose to Michigan
okay,
and not win the national championship.
But if
he wins the national championship,
I do not think he should be given the ability to coach the team in the playoffs.
That's fine, but I don't think that they're going to. I don't think they're going to make a change between the end of the regular season and the playoffs. I don't think that's a thing.
I think it would be the easiest change to make ever. I think the boosters and the new athletic director will look at him and say, "You are the only thing holding Ohio State back from winning a national championship." At that point, if they lose, remember they're going to be a big favorite. They're going to have the talent edge. There's no Jim Harbaugh. There's absolutely no excuses. This game is at home this year, at the Horseshoe. It would be again, an all-time humiliation to Ohio State to lose for the fourth straight time, especially if they were undefeated, especially if they were the odds-on favorite to be the number one. If they were the number one team in the country and they lost at home again this year to Michigan, come on.
Especially to the six-loss Michigan team that you just
yes,
predicted.
Yes, I just called them six losses, and now it's not one of those games.
Well, and especially when
good call.
This isn't their most difficult game of the year.
No, it's
like,
not.
It's not close. Oregon is.
It is.
I think Oregon and Ohio State are very, very close in terms of talent. I could see either team
really?
Winning that game. I do. I think Oregon's awesome. And I think Oregon has a much better coach.
I am absolutely pumped. Oh, Dan Lanning? Yeah. Much better?
Yeah.
Much better than Ryan Day.
Yes.
Well, maybe we'll discuss that on tomorrow's show.
Might have to power rank the head college football coaches. We did that in the podcast last week. But now that you're in, might have to revisit. Mitch, terrific job with Mitch Please today. Just remember to tell those guests who is on the show in the booking process and right before
Mitch,
you put them
please,
on.
Please inform our guests.
I'd like to thank Ken Wyman, James Rapine, Andrew Filippone for Big Country, for Mitch, for Danny Cunningham, who will be back tomorrow. And
sure will.
Thank Filippone.
And
take the thanks back.
Holy cow, did I just get into it in the back with Dan Menigan about Team USA basketball. Wait till you hear what he has to say. It is flamethrower. Flamethrower type stuff from Dan Menigan. That's coming up next. And Baskin and Phelps, right around the corner here on 92.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.